Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Homer, watch your mouth!
I gotta go. My damn wiener kids are listening.
We are not wieners!
Then what are you dressed like that for?
They made us!
Oh, they made us! That's loser talk. You gotta start acting more like me and my team, the Future League champions of the world! Nothing's gonna stop us now.
Another episode of the Cropod, and joining me, Shane, of course, David Edgar is here. David, hi.
Hi, everyone. How are we doing? God, it's been so fucking long since we could do one where we're after a cup final and we're having a laugh and not an inquest.
Yeah, I'm just saying, for as long as all three of us have been doing this, right, we have finally completed the set of domestic trophies.
Yes. Only
take
took
your
the
time.
Fucking only
take
took
your
the
time.
12 years, you know? Better late than never, etc. And so forth.
Rangers did it the exact same way I would do it. Just all over the place, not really consistent. Just finally get around to it when you're like, oh yeah, what's that one thing I need to do? Okay.
Hi, Todd.
Hi. Did anything happen last week? I was kinda sleepy.
I'm not the right person to ask. God, every day it feels like it's gonna be okay. By the end of the day, I've like just moved it or tried to move it or like done that right. Ghost. Even though it's in like an immobilizer, I'll do that thing where like you try to move it the way you normally would, but that's just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So loads of pain. Only matched by David's ineptitude at being able to log in.
That's hardly my fault. It's the system we use is broken. I was saying to the lads, I can go in and probably find, I can certainly find out what's wrong, whether or not I can fix it. It's a different thing because right. It's obviously not my website, but I can get in at the back end and have a look at it. But there's like fucking 40 links that all need checked. And I was like, I can't be arsed with that. So I just came in on the phone today. So if I'm a little bit tinny at some points today,
you sound delightful.
David's doing advanced scouting in Dublin for May. So
no, I'm not. And I'll tell you for why. On Thursday night, I contacted my cousins in Londonderry. And I said, listen, when we get to Dublin, because the hotel prices in
we
Dublin
will follow
is any-
on.
Yes, the hotel prices in Dublin, as anyone can tell you, at the best of times, are quite expensive. Mm-hmm. But whenever there's any sort of event on, they go through the roof. So even before any club has reached there, they're already huge on that date. So I said, I'll stay at yours and we'll go down on your supporters bus. And he's like, right, fine. So I'm fine. I'm sorted.
Okay, good.
To there. I'll be heading to Londonderry and then driving to driving to Dublin when, of course, we reach the Europa League final. Yeah, where do we start this week? Not only one good, two great results to talk about. Yeah. I think this might be a first.
I don't think we've led with football on this show since the final that will not be named.
Right. Yeah. Where, I guess the first question I have is where the fuck did we find Phil Clement? Like, where did this, how?
See,
how did this happen?
My hair fell out, right? My own fault, as I've mentioned before on here, but my hair fell out about, 8 years ago, 9 years ago now, right? And for the first time since then, thanks to Philippe Clement, I am so happy I'm bald.
Right, right.
In fact, I actually decided the other night I wasn't bald enough and went and shaved some more off because I
look forward to the day that we find out that Big Phil shaves his balls, and then David will be in a quandary. He will not know what to do. He will be standing there with the manscaping razor in one hand.
With the 14 different manscapers he's been sending.
Exactly. Exactly.
Go, well, he's...
Where do I put this balm?
Well, see, funnily enough, on the Manscaped, because as Shane said, because we've done adverts for them for years, and I don't know why, I keep trying to get them to fuck off, but they won't, they keep coming back. And, I know. No, they seem to like the ones I do, they seem to sell, but they say, and I've actually said this to them, I was like, lads, I don't need you to send me these razors every single time that we renew the
I just love... Every single line read you do for those ads is, hey, pervs, listen up.
That's the thing. Clearly, they've never listened to the ads, right? Because they sent me a script, and I've never read it once, right? I just literally go on and say, look.
You want to be as questionable as Cliff Richard? Well, here's what you do.
Yeah.
Would you like your ball sack to look like vintage Telly Savalas, right?
It's like they're just sitting in a boardroom somewhere going, sales are up, and I don't know why. Okay. Do you think it's that ad? I don't know. Give it a listen, finally. Liz, I think it's about time we heard this. Yeah. Buy these razors, or we will kill this puppy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. But they keep saying, so what I've done is at our live shows, we give them out as sort of booby raffle prizes, right? Mm-hmm. Booby fuck all. The crowd go mental for them.
Oh, no. Yeah, they should. They should, because it's a good, it's a high quality product.
But we've
I don't even own one. I don't even own one, and I appreciate them.
I've really worked it to get this advertising read. Great high quality product.
Great high. You know what? It would be wonderful if I could test it myself. I wish I had the means by which I could do a comparison to the Philips that I currently have. It would be nice to see sort of what manscaping brings to the table, as it were, that sort of thing.
Now we've had people walk past like what we considered the first choice prizes to get their hands on the ball shaving kit when they've got their choice to pick. So massively popular, but Big Phil, I mean, what a man, what a fabulous individual that he is. I don't know if you've had the chance to watch the Away Days RTV thing yet, but there's some great moments, you know, Ross McCausland running with a cup to the fans going, fucking yes, was good. Mm-hmm. Borna Barisic waving his flag and a steward says to him, well, you shouldn't have left it. And he goes, I apologise. I apologise for nothing. it was another highlight. But my absolute favourite moment is Philippe Clement stands up and he turns to Ross McCausland and Leon King on the bench, hugs them and goes, this is the first, it's not the last. Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Oof.
Bet you've got
Ross Johnson has as many League Cup winners' medals as Paul McStay. How about that?
Not bad, eh?
I love Ross McCoy. He's just like a little sort of. He's kind of like. He looks to me like a toddler on Family Guy.
Like Stewie?
No, like the other toddlers. In Family Guy, not like Stewie, because they've all got the floppy hair and he's tiny and they're running up.
That's the thing. I'm like, I wish he'd get a real haircut, but this is working for him and I'm starting to like.
At the game the other day, a couple of crosses in the first half and he just couldn't quite get his head on them. And a guy behind me says, oh, he should do better with that. I went, mate, he's 5'2".
Right.
It's like, that is not going. We cannot say, oh, Ross, you're not great in the air, right? He shouldn't be. Okay. That's not his strength. That's not why we're picking him. He is not Mark Haitley.
Right.
He's a good player, though.
Yeah.
Very much. Very much.
I want to give credit again, although he didn't score this time. It was Scott Wright's run that left Tavernier in that much fucking space. And,
Right.
Yeah. That was a hell of a finish. I mean, to be able to get over the top of that and skip it down in.
Right. Yeah. I was doing some in-game betting just across the things. And the original bet that I had was Rangers to win, both teams to score, and Seema to put one in, which I thought I could visualize it in my head. I was like, okay, fine. And as we had more and more corners, I just noticed that, you know, Balogun's kind of coming in, and he was at like a 20-1 to score. So I'm like, okay, I'll just put a quick one on that one. And then, you know, those things where it's just like kind of a beam of light kind of hits you and you just go, oh, come on, this could totally happen. As soon as Lammers came on, I went, well, what are the numbers there? And they were equally poor. So I'm like, here we go. Comes the man, comes the time. This is the thing. And as soon as I hit the bet for, like, you know, Lammers to score anytime, that's when the betting app decided to go, are you sure you're okay, pal? Like, that was the threshold.
One of those checks that they go, hey, you want to have a bit of a sit down and just get this one through.
Just automatically connects you to the Samaritans or something.
Right, exactly. It's like, you know, okbetting.co.uk. Like, it's okay. I guess. Gambling Aware. That's the one.
Oh, we lost David.
Oh, Jesus.
God, you know, this is going to be, on top of it sounding like he's got his Christmas lights and undoing them right now. The whole time.
Right.
Now we're going to get to go through this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what he's doing.
Eh, the hell with him.
Okay, so we'll save the football chat for him. I have a non-football chat.
Yeah.
Speaking of giveaways at shows and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
There was a comedy show in Toronto that had Fleshlight as a sponsor. And so in lieu of payment, a lot of comics would do the show and get a Fleshlight at the end of the show for their hard work. Sadly, I never got the opportunity
for their hard work.
Is that for their hard work? Yes, they really, yeah, they really put their back into it. You know, they,
yeah. God damn. So no Fleshlight for you, huh?
No Fleshlight for me. No Fleshlight for me. Which would be interesting to explain to the wife. She's like, "What is that?" Okay, sweetheart. Here's the thing. I did this show, you know, no one complained when I brought home weed cookies from the pot show. No one complained about that.
I show up with a pocket pussy, and this is the kind of thanks I get.
Exactly. And I've always wondered about the pocket pussy thing. Like, how big are your trousers that you can fit a Fleshlight into the pocket?
Conversely, how well?
Yeah. Like, to me, like, when you hear pocket pussy, is like it's something very surreptitious, something no one knows about. It's in your pocket, and you know you've cut a hole along the seam so that, you know, if anything, you know, should the need arise, you know, literally and figuratively. That's always what I pictured the pocket pussy to be. But no, it's a huge apparatus.
Here, Todd, since this thing's kind of fucked it with David, and we just had this problem a couple weeks ago. Okay. We're gonna take a quick break at the beginning of the show. It's almost like the cold open where we talked about football. Now you get the rest of the bullshit. So
here we go. Can I do the go out?
Yeah, throw out the break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
We're both on video, Dave.
Hey, look at this. 40, dude, 40. For you, buddy. Look at that.
I'm not a Cubs fan.
I know. Here, free. Okay, for you, buddy. Look at that. Look at that right there. Look at that.
I don't do video.
Yeah, that's for the best.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I look like a Manscaped product. I'm not, or all the results of a Manscaped product. I don't. Also, I get up and walk about when we're doing pause. I don't record in a chair. So I need to walk about.
Me and Todd are all professional. Hi, everybody. We're back, by the way.
Using
something different now. I was going to drop this back in at some point in the conversation. We're having a lot of a David info. You know, for once, it's not my shoddy ass internet in Rockford.
It's not my internet. It's the tool we use to record. And I was saying to the boys there, just as I was waiting to get on onto this thing we're using now, I was sending a very strongly worded email, and I might copy in my MP. Reminds me of the great line in The Young Ones when when Rick says, "I shall be writing to my MP," and Vivian says, "Your MP won't care." He says, "In that case, I shall write to the lead singer of Echo and the Bunnymen."
Beautiful.
I mean, he can give it to Yusuf to do, and maybe one more thing that he could put the whole force of the Scottish government behind, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's that? Basically, you know, some potato peelings and some moldy old some moldy old Christmas presents that got left over in a garage that got flooded. One of them came out with a cracker. They said the other week, we actually have heads of state getting in touch with the Scottish government to ask us about our success stories. One, no, you don't. No. And two, I would love to know. Right, you know, who the fuck was getting in touch with you? You know, which heads of state?
Right.
And you have to make up a country. You mm-hmm. have to go like Lilliput.
Right. One of the stands.
Yeah.
Cognition stan. Yeah, even something.
Well, I wish they did have cognitive ability to go, hang on a minute, nobody's going to believe this. Not only, you know, we're morons and, you know,
look, if you're going to have made-up embassies, you might as well have made-up fucking prime ministers in other countries that are really reaching out to tell you what a good job you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why I was, you know, having to explain to my nephew, who, to be fair, is only 7, but having to explain to him that there's no such place as Wakanda. And therefore, has Buggy and his mom to take him to. Sorry.
Wait. What? What?
Because his mom was like, "Where do you want to go on holiday?" And he was just straight in there, Wakanda.
Buzzing.
And she's like,
yep.
I was like, "Wee man, I don't. You know, there's no flights this time of year."
I mean, if he's a Spider-Man friend, you know, you could take him to the Bronx. I mean, nothing says glorious vacation to show the nephew the world.
Yeah.
Then taking them to the South Bronx.
I have to tell you something. It's funny you bring that up. It's like that's the one of the reasons why I've always preferred Marvel to DC is that Marvel is at least anchored in the real world. So you could sort of predict, you know, Spider-Man going down Park Avenue, you know, in between the buildings, and that would
be
fine.
Sir, I'll have you know Metropolis is a city in Southern Illinois. Thank you very much.
Sure. Not that one, you know.
I beg to differ. It says the home of Superman right on the sign. When
Yeah. Can't wait to see the Daily Bugle then. Point me in that direction.
The other thing is that I don't think you really have to look too far between the lines to work out which city Gotham is.
Correct. But and here's the thing. This is actually
it's Chicago, obviously. I saw the movie.
Yeah, right. This is second
or city. Pittsburgh.
I thought it was Edinburgh.
Fuck. I love it's like that moment. You know, you drop a lot of clues as to where this fictitious it's Illinois. Okay, fine. All right. It's Michigan. Sorry, it's Michigan. The Simpsons are taking place.
I thought it was Ohio.
Oh, they're a Northern Kentucky family, you jackass.
Sure.
No, because there's that one tell where, like, you know, they're doing like the fake cartoon is like, where is this city that you're going? Because you drop clues, it could be here, and the guy just goes Michigan. Okay.
All right. Oh yeah, because it's where Matt Groening's from, isn't it?
Right.
There was a great one in The Simpsons I saw the other week when I was watching where they go to the local state government to see how laws are passed. And a candidate stands up. He says, "I propose a motion to change our state flag. It is particularly embarrassing that we have the Confederate flag on our state flag, especially as we are not a southern state."
Right. Here's So I want to come back to this Gotham City nonsense. There's nothing that takes. I want to ask you guys about if there's been a thing or like a theme that takes you out of a movie instantly. And I have two examples of what I mean. When you watch the new sort of like the Chris Nolan Batmans, and they have that football scene. When it's, and I know, I can't watch any given Sunday because it's not real teams. And like, you know, when I'm in the thing, I need it to be like the real thing. That's why I like Bull Durham. That's why I like, you know, like actual sports, you know, movies that have the thing involved, that have the actual thing. So I can't watch this, like, you know, when the mayor goes, now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go watch football. It's like, you're not watching football. I don't know what the fuck you're watching. You're watching a guy in a yellow black uniform run across a field that's about to disintegrate.
Also, yeah, the Pittsburgh football stadium, which is only like half full, and they're playing a team from like fucking Grand Rapids or something.
Yes. Like, yes. The Grand Rapids Throw Hammers. Oh, yes. One of my favorite NAHL teams. That's, and the other thing also, is, go ahead.
Wouldn't Gotham change the name of the team to the Gotham Batman?
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Right.
And then just branding, man.
Yeah.
Just
and then whatever the suburb is would be the Robins. Yeah. You know, that'd be their Triple A team, right?
That would be the minor league team.
Well, see, hold on. That was one of the old name of the Brooklyn Dodgers, though. So that'd be
what, the Robins?
Yeah, they were the Brooklyn Robins. Cool. Oh, yeah.
What do you know? What so, do you know?
The one that takes me right out of a film, Todd, is, have any of you seen Darkest Hour, the Churchill movie?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Gary Oldman, brilliant in it, won an Oscar. Yep. He is absolutely fantastic. Yep. The historical thing is really accurate as well, mm-hmm. because it's a great story. It doesn't really need changed very much. Mm-hmm. Inspiring movie, except one scene in mm-hmm. which Winston Churchill decides to go and ride the underground, go and ride the tube.
Oh, yeah.
And right. He meets lots of lovely Londoner types and they inspire him on to get... No, he didn't, right? Not only did he not do that, if you'd put him among that, you know, ordinary working class Londoners,
no.
He would have instinctively started ordering them to go and run him a bath and bring him a drink.
Where's my snifter of brandy?
Go attack that Ottoman outposting. Just keep going. Like 400,000 of you, just keep going.
Churchill was a great man. He is one of the most important people in history, right? We do not need to pretend that he was also a 2020s style man of the people, rainbow coalition, loved everyone in the whole world. He didn't. Okay? It's fine. Some people in the olden days weren't what we would consider to be mm-hmm. absolutely perfectly socially minded. It was just unnecessary. You know, it wasn't.
Well, it's everybody tries to Kennedyize mm-hmm. these old leaders. And it's like, no, they didn't. Mm.
Nope. there's even like there, that's like a scene, like that's a moment that I have been thrown out of movies for a bad line, right? Like, and I will give you my prime example of this. And every time I watch this movie so many times, and I love this movie, but every time, like, it gets to the point where I know it's coming, and I fucking hate it. And it's the Shawshank Redemption.
Okay,
one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah,
I know what the line would be here.
Top three on any movie critics list has to be. It's one of the best movies on the planet. And there is one line that is delivered that as soon as it's said, I'm like, I'm out. It is like, it's like when you're having sex and everything's going great and suddenly her really too long toenail grazes your calf. You go, I'm out. I'm out. And it's when Andy Dufresne gets the shipment of opera records, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going through it and he's in the console where he can play it in the thing. And the guard that's watching him goes, that's pretty good, Andy. And he says this line. Now, I'm going to go pinch a loaf. I'm out. I am out. I am out. That line makes no sense. I don't know why you'd say it. It just like, you know, I don't know who you're trying to be a big boy on this. It's a horrid line. It's a horrid read of a line. It's a shitty line. No pun intended, shitty line. So
There's one in a TV show, actually, that completely ruined it for me. Well, it didn't completely ruin it for me because it was shit to begin with. But if either of you watched the first series of True Detective,
yes,
right, with Matthew McConaughey.
And Time is a flat circle.
Well, no, I did that whole series. I just loved, and I think Matthew McConaughey was absolutely spellbinding in it. Woody Harrelson, of course, was brilliant, because Woody Harrelson is always brilliant. But the second series then came, and it was the writers admitted this. It was one of those ones where he'd, you know, for years he'd written his first TV show and script, and it was perfectly done, and it was such a big success that HBO then came back and went, "Hey, series two, we start.
Let's do this again."
He's like, "What? Come up with a script," and he was like, "What?
Do you think Vince Vaughn will help this?"
Right, and poor Vince, he gets the line. He's a gangster, right, and he feels he's slipping in the pecking order. You know, as we've seen in gangster movies, it's all about where you are in the rung. And he turns to his wife and he says, as gangsters always do, he says, "Am I diminished?" And I went, what? Who the fuck would ever say it? I mean, never mind, any normal human would never put those three words in that particular order.
Sweetie, I got to ask you a question. This is really important. The guys are fucking me in the club. I got to ask you something. Am I diminutive?
Yeah. It's like, it's just the biggest load of fucking bollocks ever. And to be fair to the writer, though, he's admitted, he said, look, you know, I was staying up all night, you know, coffee, trying to just write this
coffee, sure.
Coffee. Coffee that comes in powder form that isn't Folgers.
Sweetheart, I believe that I'm slighted.
Yes. Sweetheart, am I somehow lessened in the eyes of my peers? You know, it was just so fucking ridiculous. There's a great Family Guy episode actually on stuff like this called Emmy Chase, I think it's called, but it's basically Family Guy saying, look, we never win an Emmy and we're sick of this, so we're going to change the show. And it becomes, first of all, a Modern Family Guy, and Peter becomes trans. And then they decide that they're going to become like one of these comedies that's actually a drama, because Emmy judges love dramatic scenes popping up in comedies. And it's kind of like that. There are lines written when you go, you might as well just have sent that straight to the fucking award judges, mate. It's so obvious. Am I diminished? Yeah, as I'm sure the Chicago mob use that term fucking constantly.
You know? Dennis Farina often heard that in the interview rooms with suspects.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why did you do it, Tommy?
What fucking got you in here?
Yeah.
Am I diminished, sir?
Am I diminished?
Forget about it. You know, it doesn't fucking happen. Just shit like that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, stuff can totally remove you from. The problem is, see, once you broke the connection to it, particularly a series,
you can't get
I
back.
Think.
No,
you're done.
See,
you're
done. My good friend Bradley loves fucking Peaky Blinders, right? And I never got into it, just didn't fucking care what it, you know. I was like, fuck it, you know. I'm at home working, well, trying to work. So, I watched it, and because I didn't realize it's only like fucking 30 episodes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's British, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, I should have known. Yeah, six episodes and 2 years off.
Six episodes, each episode 4.5 hours.
Yeah. Right away, when they had like Churchill as the Home Secretary in like 1919, I'm like, okay, why? All right, we're going to do some alternate history stuff. That's fine, whatever. He's fucking what's-her-name, the union head or the communist. Yeah. But then I'm like, if you're going to go down this alternate history route, just fucking kill Mosley. Like, give me the joy of watching his head splattered on fucking film.
I mean, to the tunes of DJ Shadow in the background.
Yeah.
I mean, do it anyway.
Who's
just
playing at
do
the
it.
Local pub? Yeah. I have a terrible admission about Peaky Blinders. First of all, someone recommended it to me, and I don't know what it is, and I'm getting worse as I get older, but anyone recommends something to me, I have this sort of visceral
instantly
reaction.
Don't want to watch
I get it.
I'm not going to watch it, right? And my wife was, she came in the other night and recommended a Christmas film, and she actually came back in 2 days later and said, have you watched that film yet? And I turned and went, of course I fucking haven't.
It's not Muppet's Christmas Carol. I'm not fucking watching.
I was literally watching Blackadder's Christmas Carol when she came in. And she's like, I said, on the plus side, Sally, you at least have the comfort of knowing this isn't one of those situations where your partner listens to his friends but won't listen to you.
Right.
I don't listen to them either.
Yes.
But somebody had said Peaky Blinders, and eventually one day I was really bored and I was like, right, okay, I put it on.
I can't do the accents. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Birmingham accents to me sound like someone having a massive elongated first fart of the morning. I can't. And I've watched, I love, too, Tom.
What's wrong with Birmingham?
Tom Hardy is just the fucking the Bane voice without.
Exactly. Yes.
It's the exact same voice.
There's a reason that he has. Actually, it would be good if he did have a mask during this thing.
Yeah. Tommy, I think you don't know what's going on. I think a point is a peaky.
I used to work occasionally in Birmingham when I had a kind of regional job, and I used to go down there and just, you know, I couldn't go for a drink with them because when I would go and I was drinking, so I would get bladdered, they would start talking and I'd be... And they'd be like, "What were you laughing at? What you laughing at?" And I'm like, "I'm so sorry. That's incredibly rude of me. But there's a reason you don't get Birmingham people A, being voiceover actors or whatever. And it's also why no American program parodying the Osbournes has ever got Ozzy's accent correct. Because he's the Midlands. It's impossible for anyone who's not from there.
The one that always got me, and I remember this day specifically, was when the Toronto club was in this place called the Duke of Gloucester, which wasn't specifically a Rangers pub. It was a football pub. So, like, right. Arsenal fans would show up, Liverpool fans would show up. Actually, it was pretty cool one day because Peter Postlewaite showed up to watch a Liverpool game while our game was on.
That's quite cool.
Yeah. So I got to go, "Mr. Postlewaite, I love your work." And then I just proceeded to back away quietly before I fucked up anything. But there was one.
Bit. I love that bit you're in at the start of Chumbawamba's song, Pete.
Yeah. Well, does it bollocks? The game that went on one day while we were there was Sunderland v Newcastle.
Cool. Yeah.
And the Geordie accent showed up, and that is just ticks and whistles. God. That's all that. What?
Posh,
that couldn't have
posh.
Been anything. Yeah.
Middle class Geordies is quite nice because it's a very soft version. It's got a nice lilt to it.
Yes, agreed.
Your actual Geordies on the street, it sounds like someone is attacking a bag of chips.
Yes.
That's exactly what that is. And as you say, it's just absolutely incredible. But then it does limit you. I mean, I remember speaking to someone years ago who was actually from Birmingham, and she'd really softened her accent. And she's like, because people, she did her normal accent, went, "People with my accent do not get to run companies." And I was like, "That's actually," because John Bishop, the comedian, he talked about that. Before he was went full-time as a comedian, John Bishop, he was actually a very, very high executive within the pharma industry, right? I remember he was talking about his previous career at some TV show, and he said, "Yeah, I used to be this," and the host actually went, "Oh, come on," and he's like, "Exactly, you, purely because of my accent, you assume that I have to be a docker." And you know, and it can be quite, and look, it still exists. There's a reason, well, there's two reasons, but one of the reasons Davey Martindale obviously has passed, but it's because he sounds like a wee Glasgow Ned, even though if you actually listen to what Davey Martindale is usually saying, it usually makes a lot of sense, and he speaks about football, his tactical knowledge is immense, right? He's very clever, but it comes out.
But then people go, "He's doing drugs."
Right.
Yeah, exactly, because it's so easy to do it. And it's classist, let's face it.
Yeah. That was the hack joke that was like in the 80s and 90s. Like everyone sort of in the States sort of had this joke where they make fun of the Southern accent. It's like, you're never going to be a doctor if you have a drawl. It's like, you know, when you go into a doctor's office, it's like, "Sir, what we're going to do is the procedure will be quite complicated. We will be removing the tumor from the base of your spinal cord, and then that will allow you to walk again." And then if the doctor is Southern, "We gonna take that tumor right out of your bag.
We're gonna cut that right out. Don't you worry.
You want a Coke? What flavor? Orange?"
Although ironically, if you are a Southern person, they'll only trust a doctor who correct. Speaks like that.
Oh
I ain't having no Yankee go in with a knife.
It just depends on where you are, like, localized into the. I love the Southern. I remember again you know, when I was drinking, I shouldn't have been allowed to go places because this guy could have shot me. But we were in Miami, and I hadn't realized, because basically everyone who in the UK, when they think of America, the first time that they go there, they visit Miami, right?
Right.
And so I've always thought of Miami in the same way as like New York or LA, and it's clearly not. It's in the South, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we were sitting in a bar one night. And I like to go to what Shane would call dive bar, proper US bars,
beautiful.
Right? I like,
beautiful.
Yeah, I don't like, you know, I'm not traveling to go to a bar that's virtually identical to one you'd get in Glasgow or Liverpool.
See,
or
that's, it's any high end bar in any major city is all
looks
the same.
Exactly.
They're all
the fucking same. Yeah, right. 100%. Right? So I like to go in, you know, local stuff. And so we went to this particular bar, and there was a guy, and he was a truck driver. And he was lovely, right? But he said to me at one point, and I was, how you doing? He said, where are you from, man? I told him, and then he goes, my name's Berber. And I was like, of course it fucking
fuck yes.
is.
Yeah.
It fucking is. And it was only when I saw that, I said, Christ, that guy probably had a gun in his pickup.
Oh, yeah.
Because he undoubtedly had the pickup, right?
There's one in the front
seat.
Hat.
No. Yeah. Not in his pickup. Tucked into his small of his back, you know.
He had the hat, you know, the truck driver,
the trucker cap. Yes,
yeah, he had
quite
that.
Stylish.
And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake! But just, you know, my name's Berber. Of course it is. And you've got 14 children, right? Six of whom have the same name. And again, there's me doing it. I'm doing the classist thing of just making assumptions. I'm right, but I'm doing it.
See, it's always some stereotypes exist for a reason.
Exactly. So there's no avoiding it. You know, there's a germ of truth.
The premier of my province is named Doug.
that's true. If he was the only thing that could be more Canadian, if he was called Doug A.
Yeah.
See, sort of on that, like, you know, stereotypes. I saw Craig Ferguson, mm-hmm. Scottish comedian, who be aware of these days. Yeah. Do you know what his first stage name was? And people in Glasgow remember this for the 80s. I remember having his albums.
I can't pull it. I know this.
Remember, it was a different era, folks. Bing Hitler.
That's the one. Yeah.
That was his.
I had the second part. I couldn't get the first.
Yeah. I was assuming this is when he was still drinking and doing a lot of drugs.
At the time, his records and Sad of It's were considered sort of, you know, on a par, right? They were really kind of cool and dark shit. But he was talking about he was doing a show, and a woman came up to him. She said, I'm so sorry. And he went, what for? She went, Groundskeeper Willie, it's so offensive to your people. And he went, I'm not really bothered. You know, Groundskeeper Willie is in shape and has a job. That's pretty good. You know what?
There is the problem with Rowdy Roddy Peeper. So there is that.
What are you saying? But all Scottish people do it. but it's an interesting one, you know, about stereotypes, because there's been a lot of talk over here in the UK, and it's different things about what offends you. So at football, there's a real clampdown in England on what they call poverty chanting, which is, you know, like feed the Scousers and
in
your council houses and stuff. And I was like, well, that gets sung at us at Rangers games a lot, right? You know, in your Glasgow slums or whatever, and it doesn't really bother me. But I suppose that's not really a reason to, you know, to say it's okay. But it's just interesting what certain people will find offensive. I've never met a Scottish person who found Groundskeeper Willie offensive. And if I did, the type of person who would find Groundskeeper Willie offensive is not someone I'd be a friend with.
No.
So
that's somebody seeking a council seat on the SNP ticket.
Exactly.
Yes, it is.
Exactly. if you look at how the Canadians are treated on The Simpsons, they're getting scorpions dropped on top of them on Japanese game shows or ragingly pulling a
Canada, they say I'm a little slow.
Or there's the rage U-turn. That's it, back to Winnipeg.
You know the best thing though about the character that they say I'm from Canada and they think I'm slow. He's later on is revealed he's called Gordy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. How fucking wonderful. Just a little tiny touch. Mm-hmm. But how fucking wonderful.
Take out your circle of paper, kids.
Yep.
Take out your safety pen.
Yep. Oh, fucking hell.
Well, on the flip side of that, my favorite thing that happens on UK shows is when they try to do an American accent. And best example, speaking of dragging you out of a show, Fawlty Towers, when the American guy shows up, who you will know as one of the lieutenants that you see in the first 20 minutes of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
His accent is just, I can't believe that I had to go down the M1. You're like, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah,
but you have to. What part of Michigan are you from, sir? What?
You guys didn't grow up in the UK in the 70s and 80s, and if you had, you would understand that back then there were 36 actors.
Right? Yes.
And they were, I'm not exaggerating, they were in fucking everything, yeah. Right? So, so it would be a case of, right, we need someone to play an American. I'll do it. Right, great, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Next day, we need someone to play a woman. All the women have been booked today. I'll do it. You know, he had 36 actors, and they were allowed to be. And it's the amount of, that's why IMDb was invented. Fuck all to do with films. It's for British people watching stuff in the 80s going, what was he in again?
Right, and everything.
Everything, yeah. And it's whichever of the shows you watch that he was in. But
the line that sums it up for me every time is when Alan Partridge goes, I'm an American. It's like gorgeous. Gorgeous.
See, well, I hate when they'll take someone and shoot. That's different to me in some aspects because, you know, you're working with actors that you work with, you know, well, mm-hmm. Peaky Blinders again, like going to get Adrian Brody to play a New York fucking Italian case. It's just like,
yeah,
fuck me. God. Yeah, like there were some points in that. Yeah, you know, it's the same like Cillian Murphy's accent, or just the way he took. You know, it's like that goddamn Clint Eastwood fucking. Yeah. You know, man without a name.
As we're watching the Cup final at the Ottawa Club, I looked up and just thought to myself, Adrian Brody will play Shinny in the movie. Yeah.
How many? What was that? 5 losers medals for him now? 6?
I think so.
Something like that.
I think so.
Still not as many fucking fouls as he made in the first half. Jesus
Christ. Crazy. Absolutely insane.
I mean, just don't get me started. But you can tell, folks, that Rangers have been winning because we're actually a bit giddy today, and you can actually tell because it's so, you know, just not coming into the show going, ah, fuck it, we're not talking about it today. Then having a rant for 10 minutes,
right,
and then just go, ah, fuck it, and moving on to something else. You know?
I liked it when Shinny and Dessers were talking to each other and kind of lipping at each other. And the only thing I can think of is Shinny goes, God, you're a shit player. Goes, yeah, but at least I play for Rangers. Like, just that.
Well, also, I mean, say what you like with Dessers, he's really handsome.
Striking.
Yeah. Striking. Yeah, he's a very
good-looking man.
Here's another observation we made watching that game. If you watch McCausland run, he runs like you're playing FIFA.
Yep.
Right? He's just like, and then stop, boom, pivot, and then back in. It's like, oh, J-loop in front of the attacking left wing. It's like, yep, there we go.
He is fantastic at just stopping and going, I'm now going over here.
Correct.
And the defender goes, where the fuck did that wee guy go?
They're hitting the triangle button. That's
Speaking of FIBA, I love that Abdullah Sima sprint back from 60 yards
and love fly that.
Into a tackle.
Oh, see that, man. But that happened. The section I was in at Hampden was on the TV side, right? So it's that, it's the north stand. But I was right down towards the segregate line, right, between the two sets of fans. I wasn't that happy about it when I arrived. I was like, fucking next to these cunts for 90 minutes. But then when the goal went in and at the end, I was delighted, funnily enough. mistakes were made at that point. You know, I draw a line under it and we'll move on. But that happened kind of obviously right in line with where we were standing. And seeing our section, it was like a fucking goal had been scored. People were roaring.
Amazing.
People were hugging each other and fucking jumping up and down. It was fantastic. I mean, I love it. Just on a serious football note for a moment, we've had some loan players over the years and they've come up and, look, they've either been not very good or they've been a wee bit overwhelmed because they were young, you know, coming to a club the size of Rangers with the expectations. But see this boy's attitude. He goes out there and he fucking plays every game like his life depends on it. Yeah, and man. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, it's nice to see from a lone player. Also, you know, praising Scott Wright earlier, but please take notes on how to fucking fly to a challenge in the cup final.
Exactly.
Don't wait.
I did
like, though, that he took the booking nice and cynically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the kind of thing. That's what I expect from a Rangers
that's
player.
That's what you're supposed to do when you're defending a one-goal lead.
There's a minute left in a cup final. We're defending a lead and you've got Super Jack in goal. Take the fucking foul.
Yeah. What do you think? They're going to accumulate this to the next game? Yeah. No. You
take
know?
The booking. I don't care. See if they suspend you for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
A cup winner's medal.
Yeah. Exactly.
But see,
go on holidays.
The other great thing about where we were as well was that when we scored, and obviously gone mental, but Jack bolted over from his goal right in front of our section and was just dancing about, you know, like 60 yards away from the rest of them, which was great. So we had a wee moment of commune between the supporters and Jack when he did that. And oh, my God, he's handsome. I mean, he could turn me, right? I mean, he's just like, wow, right? It's a good job all men don't look like Jack Butland or the human race would end.
I return to our internal thread. Which one of the Hemsworth brothers is he? I keep forgetting.
He's Thor.
Yeah.
He's Thor. Whoever Thor is.
His horse replied, "You forgot your thaddle, filly." Okay.
Yeah, you know, here's some more inside baseball. I didn't know about this with Zoom, which we're having to again use because backup options. But apparently there's a time limit on this thing.
There is. So we best get to questions.
Well, or can we start a new...
What do you mean? Yeah, you can start a new one.
6 minutes. All right, so yeah. We're going to take the last break. We got a bunch of questions because David put out the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, fuck it. I mean, they'll do what the questions always do for us. So
Shane, correct. Allow me. Allow me. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to part 7 of this week's Scrum Pod. Fucking holy hell.
Here's another thing I hate about movies.
As always, go check out our friends, thefamoushedward.co.uk, and of course, blueroomart.co.uk. They've both got to all the very nice cold weather. Well, yeah, I mean, especially Graham, of course, with cold weather stuff. It is that time. Go get your hats and stuff.
Yeah. And I want to thank him, because remember last week I said I had persuaded myself with my hat and scarf didn't arrive in time that we weren't going to win. They did arrive in time and we won. That's science, that.
Yeah. And, of course, our good friends up there, Recovery and Repair, Massage Therapy in East Kilbride. I don't really have a setup because I'm still just, I'm in pain personally. So
you should fly over.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, put me on a plane right now. That'd be better than
that would help his mood.
Yes.
God. Questions. We asked for them. You guys gave us plenty. Andrew Keller, good old buddy, wants to know who's a better referee, Kevin Clancy or Graham Shinney?
Some effort to be playing a football match, committing fouls, and not calling yourself for them all at the same time.
Yeah. God.
Somebody said to me a few years ago, because Graham Shinney is quite a decent player, and he said Graham Shinney would be a good sign for us. I said, no, he wouldn't. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, because he gets away with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He gets away with shit that he would never get away with in a Ranger.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be booked for his first or second tackle and sent off after his fourth. So,
No, he's made a good career out of being one of those guys that gets about 9 fouls against us before the referee gives him a mildly stern talk.
Yes. Yeah, look, if you do that 13 more times, I've had it.
That's it. You will be off this park quicker than you know after your 69th foul.
You'll be out of here before the tea lady.
Yeah.
Lewis Westno says we won the cup and progressed in the Europa League again after I injured myself. Mm-hmm. I think we all know that there's a history, a trend in these regards. Will Todd or David be planning to kneecap me in order to ensure we win the quadruple? Or will we just trust that I'll injure myself somehow?
Well, allow
no
me to
broke bet against you hopping yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get odds on that anymore.
It's no, yeah, no, no it's the that. It's really an over under situation at this point. But if but if you somehow, you know, kind of wrap yourself in cotton wool and stuff like that, I'm just going to say my wife's Italian and they have relatives. That's all I'm going to say.
If I have one regret in my time watching Rangers is that I didn't fly off to Illinois just before the Europa League final mm-hmm. and hit Shane with a pipe, a la right. Tonya Harding's boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, hold on. I tore my leg open after Arrivo's goal and it mm-hmm. still didn't work.
Yeah.
So
it was too close.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, true, yes.
The day before the treble, I'm just awaiting a phone call. Go, hey, Todd, yeah, that leaky pipe won't be bothering you anymore.
Yeah, that thing's done now.
Is Adrian Brody calling you?
Aye, but the problem is the next day, you'll go, I did that job. Am I diminished?
Oh, fuck. Man. Along the same line, Steve Wasso, is Jack Butlin that good that he could save me from more harm, or does even he have limits?
Oh, there's limits. Yeah. There's no.
Can't be everywhere.
Right.
You know, watching Shane's like watching a toddler that's hopped up on Ritalin.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things, like I kind of equated to, like, the Christmas video where, like, there's a bunch of players standing over, you know, Shane in a hospital bed and just Butlin there shaking his head. And suddenly, out of nowhere, like a lamp starts to fall on him. He just bats it away and just still looks at him. It's like, I wish I could have been there. You know.
But we all have our, you know, your spirit footballer, right? And I was delighted to see it the weekend, actually, when I got home from the cup final. I was wearing my new jacket. Mm-hmm. And when I got home from the cup final, Ali McCoist was wearing my jacket.
Not there you go.
One, but he'd obviously bought the same one. And, it got me thinking, Shane, yours is undoubtedly Gaza.
Yeah.
I mean, it just fits so fucking perfectly.
Moments of sheer brilliance.
Moments of sheer brilliance. Absolutely sandy. Yeah. Hurts himself a fair bit, yeah. I mean, it just the join the dots, people, and they don't. It's not a long distance.
Mm-hmm.
Jet lag. Well, what's no? Should Glasgow City Council accept planning permission for a large new aquarium in the East End? Surely they've got enough sharks that they could fill one.
I did not get that.
Don't get it.
That's a good one.
Don't get it.
I don't get it.
Yep, that was I don't. And I've hit that age, and it's the most fucking freeing thing, by the way, as you get older. That now I just before that I went, yeah,
right,
yeah, and then spent the rest of the night going, what the fuck? Right. Now I just I don't get that. Could someone explain that?
When someone says, are they missing the baby raccoon in the McDonald's, and they throw that one at me, I'll be like, right, that one.
I tend to just go, I don't get it. wait for someone to explain it to me.
I'm still, we cannot stress this enough, have to take advantage of this. Because you don't get many of these chances.
Correct.
Find somebody in the, you know, the big block of the shareholders needs to go find their fucking checkbook goddamn quickly.
Kamar Ruth, who I will honor my promise, folks. Last week I said on this very show, if Kamar Ruth helps us win in Spain and the cup final, I will not complain the next time he's injured, so I won't. But his goal took it. I love this, right? If we were finishing third in the group, mm-hmm. which we were at that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then we did go into the Conference League, right? But mm-hmm. we get £300,000 for it, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's better than a you know, none, because sure. it's failure, right? I mean, let's be honest. It's you've got the safety net, but him scoring that goal meant we got just automatically not. Oh, you know, ticket money, and if we play, no, just literally UEFA will now give us £4 million.
Yeah.
For that one goal.
Not bad, eh?
No, not too shoddy at all. I mean, much as we all were desperate to win the Viaplay League Cup, that got us a 6 month loan of a Vauxhall from 1988. You know, it was not a big prize thing. You know, it did it. From what I hear, the players don't even get a fucking free login for Viaplay because Viaplay are leaving. So,
I once did a corporate at Christmas for a lumber company, and I got $500. So I can relate. I can very much relate. Yeah, I do not feel diminished.
No, it's the last thing any of us want to do. You know, is walk about feeling diminished.
Yeah.
But just, you know, it obviously it happens all the time. It's such a. I go back to my thing from last week when I was telling you about American observational humor. You know, I felt diminished, and the whole crowd goes, I felt diminished as well. Oh, that's fucking brilliant. It's like he's got a thing in my head. Basically, every episode of Seinfeld.
Yes. Correct. Absolutely correct.
There it is. Had to work that one in, didn't
you? You gotta. I don't like a tickler. You got a stickler for a tickler. I don't like a tickler. Fucking hell, Jesus Christ. Somebody tell a fucking joke.
Or hate the drink. Hate the drink.
At least get the hot woman out there in a bikini or something.
David wants to know, what position will Beal play Sam Lammers versus Newcastle on the 6th of January? What God, please God.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously the most needed player to fit his system. So, you know, whatever he wants to pay to take him off of us. By the way, God bless him trying to jump on the coattails. You know, our former first team coach, not manager, former first team coach, of course. But yeah, they're posting what was that, on his Insta story, the League Cup winning graphic. So
It's like when Frank Lampard claimed credit for winning the European Cup, actually the Champions League, after Chelsea won it the season he got sacked. And I was like, I think it might have been the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so. When you think about it, Beale, you're right. You did win the first two rounds of the Cup at home against Morton and Livingston.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
No. Right. Yeah. No, you do not get any credit for this Cup win. No.
Man, yeah, I do have to give credit to Robson there and Aberdeen, as I point out to you gentlemen later in the evening when I was pretty fucking pissed and high. It was funny watching them. It was the first time in years they didn't treat a match like us as a cup final.
Yeah.
It actually was a cup final.
Yes.
And it was funny because the one time we couldn't have said afterwards, oh, it's typical of them, they raise their games, it's their cup final, because it was a cup final.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And instead they played 100 minutes without a shot on target. So
yeah, just gorgeous. Launching the ball vaguely in the direction of where they hoped a striker might stand.
Beautiful football.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful football. Lovely. Let's see. Dougie the Bear wants to know, simple one.
Mm-hmm.
Explain Michael Stewart's performance on Sunday.
He hates
David,
us.
Have you gone back to
this? Yeah, it's very... It's not as hard as you make it out to be.
I haven't heard much of it because I had the highlights on, but I had music on, and then at the end, and this is true, this is not a gag, this is going to sound like a gag, it's not. At the end, when just as we were about to win the cup, the ref was about to blow the final whistle, I turned the sound on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Rory Hamilton, who's a brilliant commentator, to be fair, he's doing it, and he does, you know, and he did about, you know, Clement's arrived and Rangers just might be heading towards a treble and all this stuff. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Michael Stewart doesn't say a word. I genuinely think he left.
Yeah.
Bang on full time because he didn't want to have to say something nice about Rangers.
For sure.
Go back. It's the weirdest thing, folk. Watch. If you're watching the commentary, and I checked, he was there a few minutes before. Mm-hmm. He's talking away. When the ref blows the final whistle, Michael Stewart doesn't say another fucking word. It's no. just Hutton and Rory Hamilton. How hilarious and petty is that?
I will say this. There is some isolated audio at the final whistle, and I just like to play it for you right now. And it, yeah, this, go this, ahead. Okay, so here we go.
Even Kyler McLaughlin was out there trying to get her hole, right? Stewart couldn't be bothered.
If I was allowed to run on the pitch and talk to Big Jack and Cyril and Leon Balogun, Balogun hurdling Redvan is the funniest fucking thing I have ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. I almost passed out when I saw that. It's just. To the red van, he's walking along, and the next thing, this giant fucking leapfrogs him on the pitch at Hampden.
Right.
Just fantastic.
Oh, it looks big and heavy. Can I hold it?
Do you need a hand with that, Jack? Yeah.
Man.
But I also like Leo because the one time Rangers players can be totally honest, right? Rangers managers. I remember Big Eck done it after the first helicopter and after 2003.
Aye, right.
When he was doing a speech on the pitch, and he said, we've had some bad days. And the crowd went, hey, and he went, you've had some bad days, you know, in the crowd. pointing at, and Leon Balogun was, he said, oh, I love the fans, you know, this is for them. He said, you know, sometimes they are unhinged.
Like, yep. Well, hey.
Yep. And we all have to just sit there, listeners. We all have to just sit there and go, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's right there. He might be onto something there. But you're allowed to do it when we win something. At
correct.
No other point.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Let's see, we got Todd's got a hard out, and sadly, due to everything that's gone wrong with this week's episode, it's going to be a little bit shorter than usual. Right. So,
but it'll take a lot longer to edit. So
well, no, it's going to be a fucking pain in the ass. With it.
The rest, I would imagine.
But fuck off. the last question, the most important question of the past few weeks. Do you get horny on Twitter, pal? I did Sunday. I'll tell you that one.
I can only picture David's erection being harder than when Nixon comes on a TV screen somewhere.
Oh, you could have cut glass with that fucking thing, bro.
Like you could mash potatoes with it. It's
when Nixon comes on a TV screen, I immediately go and get my notebook.
And you have a nice perch to put it on. That's nice.
Didn't happen. No, that's an incomplete telling of that particular point. No. But I'll be honest. I don't get horny on Twitter. I get sad for the future of humanity.
More often. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
That was one of those moments where I went, "What is this? Okay, yeah. Do your research, folks. That's all I can say.
I had one of those rare, perfect sporting weekends though, because Tennessee basketball won. Football was still, again, Super Bowl, not till the first. Tennessee basketball won Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up, watched us win the cup, and then the 49ers kicked the shit out of the Cardinals. There you go. It was great. And then I just sat around and smoked cigars and drank whiskey all fucking night.
Nice.
It was perfect.
Slightly let down by the Vikings, because not only did they contrive to lose in overtime after leading most of the game, but it was to the fucking Bengals. So
yeah, right.
was happy. But if one of the teams had to let me down at the weekend, I would far rather it had been them than the other one, to be quite honest with you. Anyway, shout out to Mark, who's...
Good.
Many things happened well for him.
Yep, yeah, he's now. Yeah. All right, but this will make you laugh.
He had to miss the cup final.
He did miss the cup final. And even worse, right, it was because the hospital told them, you're getting home, we just need to sign the discharge letter. And then it took them 6 hours to come back with the discharge letter.
Oof.
And he's like, I could have gone. I said, no, you couldn't have.
No.
You could not take your wife and baby home and then go, by the way, I'll just nip out for a couple of hours. I'll be back. You could
exactly.
There are no acceptable circumstances for the day your child comes home.
Yeah, no, your ex-divorce would be skyrocketing, yes. Right?
You're not allowed. I know that, for fuck's sake, right? You're not allowed to do that. Can I want to go first on the Onion headline.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, yeah, do it.
Oh, sorry, I'll need to compose myself here. man tragically unaware he possesses among the top five most beautiful assholes in America.
I saw that when Dar Thomas and the Sean Locke thing. San Diego Maradona, the world's best asshole contest.
Sources said he doesn't and probably never will know what a magnificent asshole he has. If he were to know what a grand asshole he owns, maybe he wouldn't be so depressed all the time.
I have one from the Reductress, which is good for the holiday time, you know, when you're going home and you're reconnecting with a whole bunch of people. High school friend group reunites to relive the same four memories each year.
Yes. Also known as Christmas lunch.
Mm-hmm. And for the family, four holiday traditions that adult siblings, four adult traditions for adult siblings that are all on drugs.
Fucking hell, you like my voiceovers.
I will do three. They call me Toddy 10 takes in studio. That's it.
Okay, now.
But, I quite like the white coworker trying to adopt black slang, embarrassingly misusing N-word.
There was also a good one of ex-girlfriend busy
but good. Yeah.
Oh man! There's a cheat day used on an entire bag of croutons.
Yep, I saw that. That's beautiful. Tell me who hasn't been there.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
Last night, I'm sitting here, you know, and finished up the little bit of prep I was doing for today, and which none of which I used because everything went to shit. And I went to get a bowl of cereal. Because cereal is the meal that you can eat at any time of the day. Except I had no milk. So I just sat there and ate like a giant bowl full of Frosted Mini Wheats.
Sure you did.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. All right, that's it. Todd's got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
I got to figure out how to fucking put this show together. I have no idea how this works. I'm terrified of the prospect.
It will be fine. It will be fine.
I think... Next, well, so we haven't done any of the other shows. Like Danny had to go back home to Scotland for some family stuff. So, and also I don't like clicking a mouse right now.
You're it hurts. Well,
yeah. Right.
So I don't. I would like to try to do something else this week, but we'll see. Next, are we doing Boxing Day? Do you guys want to do? I mean, they moved.
I probably will not be able to.
Yeah, okay, I don't. Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna take next week off. I don't know. Go back and listen to a show that you like from before. So,
yeah.
There you go. Maybe I'll go through the archives and just.
I'll be about stuff. Later in the week, Shane.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So I'm being right. You'll jump.
Well, yeah, because we play on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
So okay.
The Thursday and the Friday, me and you'll dive on. Even if it's just the music or something, we'll do so. Cool.
Right. Yeah.
Todd, you can find on Twitter, heyatcba.com. Find or whatever. Find him at heyatcba.
You know where
find
I am.
All the stuff, heyatcba.com. You guys know the shit. Whatever. David, of course, everything heart and hand at Ibrox Rocks. We will be back sometime next week. Merry Christmas. Everybody, hey, look at us. We got nice, shiny silver things, and we're going to be top of the table in time for the winter break. So.
You got it.
Look at that. All right, everybody, be good. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
You can't get fucking serious at all.